Sunday the 2nd of December 2018, 10:45 service. The service for Shoebox Sunday. The Bible reading is in dramatised form and tells the parable of the sower, and our talk is by our church administrator and champion of Shoebox Sunday, Pauline Looms.
So one day, Jesus was walking along the side of a lake with some of his friends, when a large crowd gathered around him. The crowd was big, really big, and this was in a time long before microphones could help people talk to big crowds. So Jesus decided to get into a boat and stand in it just off the shore, whilst everybody else stood on the shore listening as he began to teach some things about the kingdom of God through something which we now call the parable of the sower. There was once a farmer who was planting some seeds. He scattered some seed and it fell on a road, where some hungry birds were able to get at it really easily, and so they came along and gobbled it all up. Now, I don't know if many of you are into gardening, but you probably know that it's pretty difficult to grow into something nice when you're inside a bird's tummy. He scattered some more seed, and some of it fell on some gravel, where it was able to sprout quickly, but it couldn't put down good roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly as it had grown. What a shame. He scattered another load of seed, and some of it fell amongst some weeds, which when it started to grow was strangled by the weeds, which is why weeding your garden is very important. But some of the seeds the farmer scattered, well, they fell on good, hearty soil, and they grew, and grew, and grew, and they grew, and they grew even more, and they grew, and grew, and grew, and produced a harvest beyond the farmer's wildest dreams. A little while later, when the crowds had gone off and Jesus had got out of his boat and they'd walked to a new place, he was just left with his friends, the disciples, and they were all discussing what Jesus had been talking about.
Now, I don't really know what sowing is.
I do. Sowing's like when my mum has to sew up the hole in my trousers after I fall over.
No, I think this is different. It's sowing with an O instead of an E, so it means like when a farmer scatters seed to plant crops, but I don't really know.
So, Jesus was giving us gardening tips?
No, I think it was a little deeper than that.
Well, what did he mean then?
Well, he is our best friend, so I guess we can ask him.
Jesus, we don't really get what you're on about with that story about the seeds and the birds and the farmer and the weeds and stuff. And any chance you could explain it to us a bit, please?
Absolutely, chaps. Seeing as you asked so nicely. Basically, what I was saying was a parable, a story to illustrate to people what the kingdom of God is like. And so it's like this. When anyone hears the good news of the kingdom of God, but it just goes in one ear and out of the other, it doesn't go any deeper than the surface, like those first seeds that remained on the surface of the road, well, then the enemy, the devil, is able to come along and pluck it right out of that person. Just so you know, guys, I definitely wasn't saying that birds are evil. It's a metaphor. I just wanted to double check you knew that.
Well, I still think that birds are evil, especially seagulls. They poo on people, you know.
Yes, they do. So anyways, the seed that landed in the gravel with the shallow soil? This is like a person who hears about the kingdom of God and instantly gets really excited about it, but they don't get rooted in it, and so soon enough they get bored. And then when some difficulty arrives, like somebody teases them or bullies them for believing in me, they run off and act as if they'd never heard about me in the first place. And then the third bunch of seed that landed amongst weeds is like a person who hears the good news of God's kingdom, but the weeds of worry, along with a misunderstanding of thinking life is all about getting more and more cool stuff, strangles what was heard about God's kingdom, and so nothing comes of it. But then the last bunch, the seed that landed on good earth, well, that's like a person who hears and takes in the good news about the kingdom of God. And then they grow in their relationship with God, and he helps them to do things with their life beyond their wildest dreams, including telling even more people about the kingdom of God, so that they can grow in their relationship with God too. So if we make sure that we root ourselves in God, like the seeds rooted themselves in good soil, then he'll help us to grow and grow more and more into the beautiful things that he's made us to be.
Am I on? Yeah. Morning, welcome to Shoebox Sunday Toy Service, and can I just say that I think you've excelled yourself with your Christmas jumpers today. I can see lots of flashing lights and sparkles, and so that's really good. So we had a fantastic day yesterday over in the hall. These are our pictures from last year. Last year we made 651 boxes, which went to Romania. But we had an equally fantastic day yesterday. We had loads of fun, and we think we've made about 600 boxes, which is absolutely brilliant. So, little clap for that. So we don't know yet where our boxes will be going. I will be finding out within the next week, and I will, of course, let you know. And as Martin's already mentioned, our toys from the toy service will be going to a local women's refuge, also the Sycamore Trust, who deal with vulnerable and parents and children with special needs, and Richard House Children's Hospice. Some of you would have heard the guy that came a few weeks ago to talk about the hospice and how grateful they are for things that they'd be given. So some of them will be going off there. God's amazing, isn't he? Martin's already told the story about the toothpaste, how we run out of toothpaste. At the end of the day yesterday, I just said to people, I think we've got about 80 shoeboxes without toothpaste. And I just said, if anyone can bring a tube of toothpaste to church tomorrow, that would be absolutely fantastic. And there is bags of toothpaste at the back, probably almost enough to fill those 80 boxes, so that's fantastic. And also, on Friday, when everyone came and we got everything out ready and to get going on Saturday, when everybody had gone home and it was quiet and I was just looking around and saying thanks for all that we got, I thought, you know what, I don't think we've got anywhere near enough shoeboxes. Thinking that we were hoping to do between 500 and 600 shoeboxes, I thought there is no way that we have got enough shoeboxes. How tragic will it be that we've got all this beautiful stuff and nothing to put them in? So I prayed about it, made a few phone calls, sent out an email, and I suddenly realised that the 50 flat pack boxes I thought I had was actually 100. A couple of people came in with 50 shoeboxes each, and they just kept coming and coming and coming. And you know, we had so many shoeboxes, we've actually got loads over left ready for next year. So God is just absolutely amazing. He always answers our prayers. So, yep. Round of applause for God. So this morning we're talking about shoeboxes, and I just want to say that I have a very special place in my heart for the children of Eastern Europe. And that is, when I first went to Eastern Europe, my youngest daughter was in nursery, and the school sent out an appeal for people to go to a warehouse in Chelmsford to help process shoeboxes. And I thought, oh, that's okay, I can spare a couple of hours while she's in nursery, I'll go and help. And that was 21 years ago, and I still feel as passionate about it now as I did 21 years ago. And I have a really special place in my heart for Belarus, because that's the first place that I went to. And it really touched my heart, because probably like most of you, our children have everything. They ask, they get, they have fantastic Christmases. And to think that there is children around the world that have absolutely nothing just spurred me on, and it still does. So when I was in Belarus, I learned lots of things, and one of the things that I learned was to speak fluent Russian, which was absolutely amazing, because I was only there a week. So I'm just wondering if anybody can guess what these words mean. Da and yet, any ideas? Yes and no, correct. Well done, you're very good. Next one, privet. Hello. Oh, Krista knows all the answers. Well done, Krista. Spasiba. Thank you. Do svidaniya. Goodbye. Okay, how about this one then, Krista? No? Right, this is one that came in really handy when I was in Belarus. It means there are eels in my hovercraft. Okay, next one. Anyone like to hazard a guess at what nadishta means? Almost. Any guesses? No? 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 Shall I tell you?
Yes.
It means hope. And because we've been talking about the seeds of hope over the last few months, I want to tell you about this place that I visited when I was in Belarus. It's called Camp Dudishta, and it is a children's centre. And that is it. And I think you agree, it looks very lovely. And it is very lovely. It is, I'm sure many of you adults will remember the nuclear fallout in Chernobyl in 1986. Well, though Chernobyl is in Ukraine, the majority of the contamination fell on Belarus. And there were many, many sick adults, but many sick children. And we visited a hospital while we were there, and it was really heartbreaking to see these children. There was lots of throat cancers and all sorts of horrible things that the children were suffering because of this nuclear fallout. But I do believe that in every situation, there's always a sparkle of hope there. And I saw this in Nadishta because it is a recuperation centre for the children. So medical, they do all sorts of therapies like aromatherapy, massages, vitamin and hydrotherapy. But they also do social things. So they take them on nature excursions. They do team building. They do, what do they do? Theatre, music and drama, and games, adventure and relaxation. So Camp Nadishta is in a pine forest in a town called Velika, which is about 30 kilometres from Minsk, which is the capital city of Belarus. They take about 3,500 children a year, aged between 7 and 17. They take them for about a month at a time. And while they're there, they do all these therapies. They build up their strength. They give them medical care. And they do have a fantastic time. This is when I went. Doesn't quite look like the first picture. It was minus 8 degrees when we went, but it is very, very lovely. And it is an amazing place, but the most amazing thing about it, and I think this is where one of the ways that we see the hope of Jesus, the most amazing thing about this place is that it was built by the Germans and the Japanese, and they acknowledged the present and the future of Belarus. Belarus lost 25% of their population during World War II. And this was some kind of, you know, we're sorry kind of thing, let us help you. And they built this amazing camp for the children, which is now curing and nurturing the young people of Belarus that were damaged because of this terrible disaster. The logo, this is the logo of Camp Nadishta somewhere. There you go. This is the logo of the children's centre. It's representing new life and hope, and that is all around the camp. And so for these children, their hope is going to come shoebox shaped. For our local children that we're going to give the toys, their hope will be, I don't know, doll shaped or maybe book shaped, but for us our hope is Jesus shaped. And the human meaning of hope generates doubt. So for example, we might say, oh, I hope it doesn't rain, I hope my football team wins, I hope church doesn't go on too long today. But the hope of the Bible means confidence, security and being without care. And I think you might agree with me that new things don't bring a lot of hope, do they? How often do you buy something that runs out before the guarantee runs out? Or even worse, that runs out a week after your guarantees run out. My tumble dryer broke and I'd literally just a few days before cancelled my insurance on it. And a couple of days later, but I did fix it. I switched it off and switched it on again and it was okay. But it happens all the time, doesn't it? But God's hope wasn't made quickly and it wasn't made cheaply and it will last forever. 1 Peter 1 verse 10 says, are you sure of the eternal hope that God has given you? That's something to think about. But for me, when I've been on these trips, I really have seen awful, awful things. But I see hope there. And the hope that I saw in particular was the staff that care for the children. They are absolutely amazing. And there's some of them there that we met when we were in Belarus. They're just brilliant. From headmistresses to nursing staff, nursery teachers. They're just absolutely brilliant. Lots of them living in poverty themselves, you know, where the wages are so low, but they absolutely love the children. And what they're there to do is to care for them and make their lives better. So our Bible reading today was about the parable of the sower, and where Jesus tells us in the form of a story about growing the word of God by planting the seeds. And then throughout December and leading up to Christmas, we're going to be thinking, our theme is going to be, what are you waiting for? So I thought, let's put those two things together. And I'm going to ask the question, what are we waiting for? We need to get out and sow those seeds. That is our job. And then God will grow them. And if you're not sure how you can plant those seeds, can I just set you a challenge today? How about inviting somebody to a Christmas service? Excuse me. We've got some lovely invitations at the back that you can take, pop them through a neighbour's door, ask family that don't normally come to church. Teenagers, how about coming to the youth club and bringing somebody from school that might not normally go to church? Bring them along to Ignite or Friday Youth Club. If you know any mums that are struggling, new mums struggling with a baby, tell them about Sparkles, where they can come along and get support and help and companionship. Or if it's an older person, there's lots of elderly, lonely people about. How about bringing them along to our coffee shop? Or how about bringing them along to MCC? That is planting the seeds. And that is our job. And then we will just leave the rest to God, because he will grow that. So I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for the hope that you're giving to these children, both abroad and our local children. And I also, well, you might have noticed that the word for today is amazing. So I just want to finish by saying I think you are all absolutely amazing, and I want you to give yourselves a big round of applause.